Dear Holy Spirit, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in this house, what you're doing in this place. We thank you that you're moving in this place. Yes. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. Open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to hear you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We praise and we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a common scripture that there's a verse in the Bible in the book of Revelation that reoccurs at least seven times in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And this verse in Revelation says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Everybody say this with me. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, do you have an ear?
Yes.
I'm probably thinking, I have two ears. Do you have two ears?
Yes.
So how many ears do you have?
Two.
All right, here it says, he who has an ear. I need to have the ear of the Spirit so I can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen? So I want to talk to you this morning about a word. It's a Hebrew word. It's called Shema. And I'll give you the answer now because it simply means to hear and to do. All right, to Shema means to hear and to do. Everybody say that with me. It's to hear and to do what? To do, right? Everybody say one more time. Verbalize with me. It's to hear and to do. All right, so to Shema, as we will establish a little bit more what it is, okay? But okay, I'll tell you what it is. So on the next screen here, this is the word right there. This is a Hebrew word. This is the root word to, and it literally means to listen or to heed. But the interesting thing about this word is in the Bible, when this Hebrew word is used, it's used in two ways. The first way, it's to literally hear with your ears, is to hear, to take heed of what is being spoken to you. All right, this is to Shema. The second aspect of Shema is, it's the very same word used to say when someone has obeyed. For instance, when Abraham obeyed God, that's the word, and Abraham, Shema. So he heard, he listened, and he obeyed. All right, so to Shema means to say to hear and to obey. It's to hear and to do. All right, so this is the idea behind the word Shema. So I want you to keep this in mind, because he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. What are you and I ought to hear as believers, even as the whole world needs to hear? There's the greatest thing that you and I need to hear. And this is what we're going to establish in just a moment. But oftentimes in life, whether we're believers or non-believers, we like to have the good end. We like to have good things happen to us. We like to have blessings. If God promises something, then we want the promises. I mean, are you one of them? I am. Definitely, everybody wants the blessings. Everybody wants the promises. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Okay, but the thing is, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are promises after promises given to the seven churches. But attached to that promise is that verse, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So you and I want blessings. You and I want promises. But attached with that, don't remove that promise, right? To the promise is he who has an ear. So the next question is then, what are we supposed to hear? We're supposed to, obviously, the obvious answer is we're supposed to hear God, right? So we're supposed to hear the voice of God. And as believers, because we're born again of the Holy Spirit, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and He's the King of our lives. We are His sheep, and His sheep hear His voice. Amen. But let me read unto you Matthew chapter 22, 34 to verse 40. And this is one of those verses that we've been hearing, okay, throughout the whole year. And I'm only just amplifying what we have already heard. The Bible tells us, all right, take heed to what you have already received. All right, so we're only taking heed to the things that I've already spoken before. So nothing new. But this, it says here, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer is one who interprets the scripture, right? Asked him a question, testing him, saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What is that commandment? And Jesus said to him, and this is the answer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what is the commandment that Jesus gives us to obey? And it is not a new commandment per se, all right? It is the same in the Old Testament. It's to love, everybody say, it's to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Well, let's verbalize now, and you're going to read this one with me now. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And it starts like this. It says, what does the Lord require of us? What's the requirement of God? What does God, I mean, you're already reading the answer around by now, but if I asked you the question here, if we put that away and say, what does God require of us? Does God require anything from us? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Are you ready? I want to read this together. Verbalize this with me. 1, 2, and 3. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Okay, so what commandments? There are so many commandments in the Bible, right? But we must go back to the very, very first commandment, because out of the first commandments are all the other commandments drawn out. That's the reason why in Matthew we just read, on these two commandments, on these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we got to go back to the roots, because out of the roots you get the rest, the leaves and the fruits and everything that comes with it. But we got to go back to the very root. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 48. And look at that very first word there. If you can see it, it's in bold, it's underlined. What word is that? Here. Let's verbalize this one as well together. And that word here, this word here, means Shema. That's the Hebrew word Shema. It's the very same word that's used to say, listen to what I'm saying, take heed to what I'm saying. And it's also the word that says obey. Abraham obeyed. All right, let's verbalize this. 1, 2, 3. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. All right, so there's a lot of practical things here that you can take. These are seeds that you can go back and look more into this verse. But the word here is here. Everybody say here. Or say Shema. Shema what? What are we supposed to Shema? He didn't say you shall do this or you shall offer this and you shall offer that or any kind of that. But what he says here, you shall love the Lord your God. You see, out of everything that God tells us to do was always had to do with love. God created us for him. And the very test of that love was found in Genesis. All right, and God gave man all the trees of the garden to eat and the tree of life, but only one tree they could not eat from. And what was the name of that tree? And everyone would know that. Tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. So I have four things to share this morning. And the first one is what God actually wants us to hear first and foremost, before anything. The first commandment, the first, the greatest, and upon which all the law and the commandments hang upon, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength. Now, how do we do that? Practically now, how can we do that? All right, how can we do that? Well, what does it say in that in Deuteronomy chapter 6? It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So what do we talk in our home? When you walk by the way, when you're traveling in the car, when you're walking with them. When you lie down, just imagine you're sleeping, you're like, oh, good morning, Jesus loves you. Or I don't know. I don't know how you do that when you're lying down. When you rise, in your eyes, just make sure you brush your teeth first. And number 8, verse 8, you bind them as a sign on your head and then shall be frontless between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts. So basically saying, keeping that word close to us, talking about it, fellowshipping, and all of that. Okay, but let's move on here. So here is the greatest commandment, is to love God. Now define what love is, right? We all have definition of what love is, but what is God's kind of love? Jesus prayed before he died on the cross. Before he went to the cross, he prayed. He said, Lord, that they will abide in my love. That they abide in my commandment. That way they love me. Abide in my love. Abide in my commandment. Love. What is love? What is love? What is love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Is that true? So it has to do with giving, doesn't it? To love. He so loved that he gave. So if I love, I give out of myself. Is that true? When you love someone, you give out of yourself for the other person. Is that true? Only for some. Is it true? Honestly, if you really love someone, you would go the second mile. No one has to ask you, please go the second mile. You want to go the second mile because you truly love them. So to Shema, which is to hear and do, all right, and so sometimes we get worked up in all the other things that God asks us to do. And it is right, we should, we must hear. But the very thing that we must hear, and especially in times of a busy lifestyle that we have, is always to go back to the very first one. Shema, the first and the greatest commandment of love. That's what God always looked for. Love. Love, obedience. Faith, love, obedience. So we must go back to the very first word. What's the very first word of the gospel? It's to repent. Everybody say repent, which means to turn to God, all right? And this is what the spirit of Elijah, the power in the spirit of Elijah, was to turn the hearts of the children back to God. So we got to go back. Shema, the first love. What is the first love? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our first love, intimacy. The first works is to go back to the first love, to present ourselves. What is the first commandment? To love the Lord our God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What is the very first thing? We must seek first what? We must seek first the blessings. We must seek first the promises. What does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So Shema, we are to hear and do. We know this very famous verse that says, a wise man is he who hears these words and does them. And he builds his house on the rock so that when the floods, the wind, the storm, and the rain comes, it will stand, won't it, right? So here, we got to hear. I'm sure there are many things that we need to hear God, all right? But we need to hear God. The very first thing, let's go back to the very first, the number one, the priority, the number one is to love him with all of our heart. And I just want to verbalize this. It's not on the screen, but I just like to verbalize this, okay? God wants to love him. That's the message here. To Shema is to hear, to obey that commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But here, we are to love God with intimacy. Love God unto death. I'm taking that from the seven churches, by the way. And number 3, love me or love Jesus uncompromisingly. To love God with a clean heart, with in holiness. To love God with substance. That means it's not, what I'm trying to say here is it's not that kind of mouth, lip service, kind of say things. You know, you really mean it. You mean it, okay? It's just like you can say you're alive, but actually you're dead, all right? So a dead person is claiming to be alive. That's like not the kind of, like, I love you, but deep inside I hate you, all right? That reminds me of a song that I heard when I was a kid. I hate you, but I love you. I don't know how that works. All right. Anyway, this is not inspired, okay? This is just in passing. All right. Love me with substance. Love me with perseverance or patience. Perseverance and patience. That means we got to love him to the very end. And we got to love him with all our being. All right? All of our being. All of our strength, not lukewarm, not a little bit love God, just a little bit, just a bit of quote. I've done my quote. No, love him. So love him with intimacy, with longing. Love him unto death, uncompromisingly, with a clean heart, with all of my substance, with perseverance and patience, and with all of our being. And that's how I believe Jesus was speaking to the churches and saying, hey, there are some things that needs to be sorted here. I want you to love me here, but you have to have clean doctrine. You have to go back to the first love. You got to persevere to the very end, and so on and so forth. Number two. So the first one is to Shema, the commandment, right? So we have some thoughts here of how we're to love God. Number two, treasure the first and the second, the first and greatest commandment. So that commandment, we are to treasure it. That means we are to treasure the fact that we are to love God. And why do I say that? Is because when we treasure other things above God, we will always obey and do that thing. For example, let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Now, how many know the story of Adam and Eve? Yeah, we all know the story, all right? And what happened here? Eve is tempted to eat of the fruit, and the serpent is deceiving Eve. And what does she end up to do? She looked at the fruit, she desired it, and she was tempted, and she ate of it. Is that true? And what does the Bible say? She then gave to her husband who was with her. Is that true? All right. So let's see what happens in verse 17. Let's verbalize it together. 1, 2, 3. Then to Adam he said, no, hang on, that's the wrong verse. I'm so sorry. Okay, sorry. 6 and 7. Okay, but we'll come back to this 17 in a moment. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. I think that's the one I'm after. Let's read it anyway. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them, both of them, were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Okay, but I'll still go back to verse 17 now. And look at this. Look what Adam said. Oh, look what God said to Adam. Then to Adam he said, because you have what? Heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying that he is not supposed to eat that, right? So God gave a commandment there. That commandment has to do with trust, had to do with love, had to do with faith. But what I want to bring your attention here to this morning is this. Adam shemad his wife. Can you follow with what I'm saying? So what does that mean? He not only listened to the voice of his wife, all right, not only heard it, but he followed it with action. So he shemad the wife. Now, we have two instructions here, all right? The first that came from who? The first one came from? from God, which is to eat or not to eat? Not to eat. But the second instruction came from the wife, correct or not? And is it still to do with the same tree? Yeah. Okay, now, was it to eat or not to eat? This time is to eat. Okay, good. Making sure you're following with me, right? Okay, so the first instructions comes from the initial, the original instruction is from God. And was Adam supposed to Shema God or Shema the wife? All right, this is not a message to say that husband don't listen to your wife, okay? This is nothing to do with that, okay? All right, because we can always twist things to what we want to hear. Okay, but here, the whole thing is that Adam is to Shema God, but he Shema'd his wife, okay? So what can we see here, all right? When we have something that's, we call it an idol, that's higher than God, that's more important than God, we end up listening and heeding that voice or that desire or whatever it is above what God has said. Is that true? So that's the reason why God says, this is Shema, what I have to say. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I think it's so crucial. What does God require? But to fear Him, to love Him, and to serve Him, and to obey His commandments. Right? So love. Treasure that. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is our treasure? That's very important. Right? If our treasure is anything else instead of God, then you know where our heart is. And there where our heart is, that's what's going to lead us. So I'm going to keep myself in the love of God. Amen. Basic message, nothing. You might be thinking, well, I've been hearing love God since I became a born-again believer. That's everything. That's a whole Christian message. It is. But how crucial it is in this time to keep ourselves and to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All right? So the treasure of our heart. I just want to declare that this morning, right now. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We just declare that you are the treasure of our heart. We want to be thrilled by you. We want to be captivated by your love. And we say we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. In the name of Jesus, you are the treasure of our heart. We love you, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Oh, activate a deep hunger and a deep thirst for you like never before. Like love. Like a strong fire that cannot be put away, that no floods or no water can water away that fiery love in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we just declare that right now, the divine love of God that comes from above. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that great love. We love you because you first loved us. And so we love you, Lord. We just thank you for demonstrating your love through the death, burial, ascension, and glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Okay. Number 3 and number 4, they kind of go together, okay? So if God asks us to Shema this, if that was so important that God kept saying, love me, and Jesus says this is the first and the great commandments, God gave us the Ten Commandments, and even when you look at the Ten Commandments has to do with God and has to do with people, which is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do we agree with that? Can we see that? I think we understand that, right? So there's so much, so we must understand what God is saying, and all the law hang on these two commandments, on these commandments. But here we see here, point number three, when we don't obey this commandment, when we disobey this commandment, we have mixture and compromise. And what I want to stress out from that is Genesis again, verse 6 to 7, we read it, but let's read it again. You see, when we don't keep ourselves in that love, then we allow all kinds of mixture to come into our hearts. Because now, anything that's second to God has become number one and has become the thing that drives our lives. How many can identify with me that you know God has said something and we don't act on it? Even though we know it, and we know, even though we know the scriptures, we know the verses, and we could even preach on it, but we did not obey that voice. So in point number three, if we disobey the commandment, we have mixture and compromise. What happened the very moment that Adam and Eve, the moment Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Okay, so verse 7. Okay, there's verse 6 and verse 7 again, one more time. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. And this is the next one here. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Tell me, what happened in that very moment? They realized, okay, so what happened? They now knew good and evil because the tree of mixture, is that true? The tree has mixture. It has both good and evil. So when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they now knew both good and evil. So they partook of the mixture, and their lives now was filled with mixture. Evil now, there was now a pathway for evil to just fill their lives. Can you understand what I'm saying here? So that's why when we don't obey that commandment of love, that's the reason why God put the tree there to and say, don't eat of it. Now, when we say don't eat it, that's a time, okay, don't go and look there. That's the first thing we want to do is check out. And even though you're not, you're like itchy, you're like very itchy. You want to, that's the same. But the thing is here, God wants us to have this kind of trust, loyalty, faith, love, obedience, all right? Because He knows best for us. Is that true? So Shema. So let's verbalize what we've said so far. So first, Shema, the first and the great commandment of love. The first word, the first love, the first works, the first commandment, and to seek first the kingdom. Number two, treasure. Treasure, the first and the great commandment is to become a treasure in our hearts. So cultivate that. It's something that we cultivate through relationship. And when we disobey the commandment, we have mixture and compromise. Father, we just thank You right now in the name of Jesus that You desire truth in the inward part. Thank You, Lord, that You're causing this church to heed the word of the Lord, to Shema Your commandment. We thank You, God, there's no compromise. Lord, we just thank You that we even right now we take authority and speak over every idolatry in our hearts in the name of Jesus. We command You right now, we break Your power right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that Jesus is Lord over all. For Thou, O Lord, are high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You are the God of gods. And in the name, and we will serve You, we will love You all the days of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go into the final point here and close, is you see, we're talking so much about love, right? So the thing is this, love is what we're supposed to do. So we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to love. So when God says, you shall love Me, okay, love, I understand I'm supposed to love, but it tells me what I'm supposed to do. But how am I supposed to do it? Make sense? So God gives a commandment, all right, what to do. So now I know I'm supposed to love. But how I'm supposed to love? What is love that I'm supposed to do it? Okay, it's the how, isn't it? That's the one we're interested in, aren't we? All right, we can say love, but He's like, how do I do that, okay? And that's where the law comes in, because the Word of God tells us how we love. So that's why the word and the commandment, we cannot separate it. And so love, go back. How am I supposed to love? Get into his word, draw from him. And when every time God drops something into our hearts, you know, I write it down, journal it, write it, meditate, and pray it, and keep ourselves in it, and act upon that word. Amen? So many times, I spend a lot of time with the children. Sometimes maybe I don't speak very nicely. Maybe I got a bit frustrated because of the same repeated things. And sometimes realize, oh, that's not very nice the way I said things. And I gotta be very sensitive to that and just go back, okay, hang on, I said the wrong thing. And sometimes even like, how many of you like to make jokes? No one. I know Chiong's one. Okay, I know Chiong's one, okay? I'm not like him, but he's way up there. I'm somewhere down low here. But I do enjoy to have a laugh every now and then. I like to have fun with the children. You know, but even sometimes we can make jokes, and then you realize, hang on, that joke was not quite appropriate. Even though it's funny and you're like, there's nothing really in it. But sometimes you just suddenly feel like, oh, that was very inappropriate. I should not have said that. Or maybe it's disrespectful to someone or something else or whatever it is. And so you got to go back and say, oh, hang on, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's a bad joke. And I have to go back and say it. I can't just ignore, oh, I'm the teacher, they're the kids, they just obey what I say. No, you can't. You can't do that. All right, so, yeah, even jokes, sometimes they're funny and you might kind of think, well, it's all right. But there's certain things you're sensitive and you're like, no, maybe that's not right joke. Anyway, the last one here, the fourth one. We bear the consequences of what we heed and Shema. We bear the consequences of what we heed and Shema. So as long as we keep ourselves in the love of God, right, we will Shema the word, we will hear and do the word of God. But the moment there's something else inside here, we will listen to that voice. And whatever we listen, if we choose to listen to God, there are good outcomes, right? The positive. But if we choose to Shema anything that's not God, obviously there are consequences. And so we find that right here in the book of Genesis. What was the consequence of not listening? Okay? Do I have it on there on the screen? Do I have it on the screen? I think I don't have it. But in Genesis, he says this. In verse 17, I think we read it, but let's read it again. Chapter 3, verse 17. Then to Adam he said, this is God saying to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. And therefore, what did he say? Cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And so was there a consequence of disobeying, to Shema something else that's not God? There was a consequence. For example, another one as well is Abraham. Abraham, God gave him the promise. The promise was that you will receive the child of promise. You will receive it by, you know, from your own. You don't have to go to Hagar or anything like that. You don't have to go in, you don't have to see anyone else, right? But what did he? Did he fully Shema it? He heard it. He was like, oh, but it's not working. So he tried to fix it, right? So what did he do? He did not fully obey. He did not hear and obey what God said. And so he got himself in trouble. Does that make sense? And so he had to bear the consequences. And out of that, as we know, he got the son called Ishmael. All right, and Ishmael, as we know, has now become all the Arabic people, and they're predominantly all Muslims. All right, so there are consequences of actions. Therefore, we are to take heed, because in everything that we choose to do, whether it's to obey God or disobey God, there will be consequences. Amen? And in closing, let me say this. You know, it's easy to say, love God, right? Now, a lot of times we hear, maybe we hear things like, God told me to do this, God told me to do that, and we find it hard to come to that. We find it hard to do. But the thing is, what we fail to maybe realize sometimes is that when we so love something, when we really love something, all right, no one has to force us to do it. Like if you're someone who loves drawing, No one has to say, oh, you should do some drawing today. No, you just automatically just want, you love to play music. No one has to beg you, oh, go and practice. You just want to go and practice it. Is that true? All right, if you, like I said earlier, if you love someone or you really care for someone, you want to please the person. You would go the second mile. You buy them a present, or you do something for them, or you, whatever it is, but you want to do it. Is that true? So the encouragement here today is the more I love God, the more I'm inclined to have a desire to hear and to obey what he's telling me to do. So the key is love him. It's not the you should do that and you should not do that, because I think when we focus on that, then we feel like we've been robbed of pleasure or comfort or whatever it is. We feel robbed because, oh, God said you can't do it. But the thing is, you got to turn it around. It's not on the what you should do, but it's to focus on who I love, because that kind of longing to love him with all of our heart, that automatically makes us want to hear him. The more we want to hear, you want to always hear what he says. I mean, you look at the children, right? When the let's say like Matthias comes, everybody's running at the door. They just want to be there. It's just like, wow, Matthias, so cool. Maybe it's his hair. Maybe it's just his, because he's got cool hair. They just want to be there. I mean, he's walking in. Just let him, give him some air to walk inside the house. They're all at the door. Just like, wow. It's like, no one asked them to go and see him, right? But they're just there. So what am I saying here? Grow in that love. Grow in that intimacy. So from the beginning of the year, you know, we've been going on, and there's an mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And so we just declare that right now, in the name of Jesus, the great love, the great and awesome love of our God, we just, Lord, keep us, Lord. Keep us in your love. The Bible tells us, abide in his love. Obey his commandment. John 15, thank you, Lord Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, renew our love for you right now. Lord, we pray right now, renew that love for you, Lord, burning like a fire in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let that love set us free right now. We just thank you, Lord, that there's power in your blood. There's power in your broken body. We just thank you for such a great love that you have for us, in the name of Jesus. I want to declare Song of Solomon, chapter 8, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabashatara Mama Sokobrandra, Mamkoprandraba, Yebishibiandrab Koprandra. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. The flame of flames, its flame of flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it will be utterly despised. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that love. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, right now. If anything right now, because anything that's a priority above God, it could be our own leisure, it could be our job, it could be our family, it could be, for those who are married, your wife or your husband or your children or anything like that. Or in the name of Jesus right now, we just return to you right now. For what does the Lord God require of us but to fear him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him, and to keep his commandments? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we just activate the first love right now, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty way. Oh, so that all of us in this place will love you and follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Can we sing this song? More love, more joy, more love. Shall we rise to our feet? Let's sing this song. More love, more power. And then after we conclude. Praise the Lord. God is speaking to us. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. More love. Shall we rise to our feet? You in my love. More love. reach out to the Lord. Holy Spirit, pour some. More of you in my life. Thank you, Lord. More of you in my life. And I worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We want to be people who do us of the word, not only hear us. We want to hear, we want to do and teach. Amen. I pray and activate this dimension from our minds to our spirit that we will demonstrate the love of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You can consider dismissed. God bless you. If you need prayer, we are here to pray for you. Of you in my life, more love.